Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
A concern that we always have is how the South African media deals with news coming out of Israel. So it's been very interesting, this Ellie Kay story. And as I mentioned earlier, I think News 24 now with their story this morning where they spoke to the father of Ellie Kay, Avi, did an extensive interview with him. I think are trying, but not everybody is, and the narrative can be dangerous. And what was interesting was a point that the journalist that called me yesterday and who I managed to arrange to speak to Avi, her name is Nicole McCain, and the point that she made to me was that South African media get all of their news from the international news from their wires. They don't have somebody in Israel. They don't have people around the world. So they have contracts with different agencies. And because I had told her that I don't want to do the interview, I'm not the family spokesman, I'm close to the story emotionally, but not factually, and that's dangerous. And she said the problem is that we are unable to report the story properly about a South African story, and it is a South African story, if we don't have direct conversations. And that's what swayed me, and that's why when I spoke to the family, I asked them, or I recommended rather, that they did speak to News 24. Benji Shulman is involved in this every single day of his life. Benji, thanks for joining us so bright and early. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm very well, yourself.
You know what? I think you're a liar, because you hate these early mornings, don't you?
I don't know how you do it, Howard, but it's very impressive nonetheless.
Either way, I actually laughed when I saw that you were on at 6:50, and I thought, wow, Senna's cruel to you. But either way, I'm happy to chat to you. Benji, you're involved in this. You're the Director of Public Policy at the South African Zionist Federation. This must be something that you see and focus and worry about all the time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Howard, a big part of what the Zionist Federation does is work on the issue of the media and how is Israel and the Jewish community reported, and how do we talk about it and engage with it in South Africa. We have a very unique context here where the media is in some ways very hostile, but also in some ways very uninformed compared to the rest of the world. As you said, they're very reliant on sources outside of them, so that's a big problem. And of course, we have an issue in general with how the media reports on all sorts of things in South Africa. So when you get an issue like this, it becomes even more complicated.
How have you found, does it differ from agency, from publication to publication? Is there a general trend? What's been your observation?
Yeah, it does differ from publication to publication. And some, as you know, many media are agenda driven, and depending on what that agenda is can affect how something is covered. But it's also, you know, the work that we do to engage journalists and to understand them and to explain to them what's going on. And sometimes I've even been to the region, makes a big difference in how they're understanding and how things are reported. I mean, you spoke about News 24. So certain of their titles really do, I think, try to cover this thing fairly and impartially. Other titles where you have maybe an editor that has an axe to grind or a long serving ideological aim, you find that the coverage is a lot worse.
Yeah, that is, it was going to be my next question, is it might even differ from columnist or journalist to journalist.
Yeah, I think what people need to remember in a South African context is that a lot of our institutions, whether it's civil society, in the media, academia, are all people who maybe used to be in the UDF or used to be in the ANC and have now left those organizations and have come into those institutions. And they bring with them a lot of the history or the ideological baggage, which is invariably anti-Israel. And so you find that where those people are in charge of these sorts of institutions, this is much more prevalent than in other places where it might just be to do more with maybe ignorance of the situation or not that much interest.
Yeah, it is quite fascinating to see. But the problem is that when we've got a ruling party or a leader, well, maybe they're not the ruling party anymore, well, certainly not in the metros, but when we've got a ruling party that has a very, very specific agenda and is hateful when it comes to Israel, that has to also somehow infiltrate the way of thinking around this.
So I once read a very good book about the impact of the media on society. And what they said is the media can't actually change a narrative as much as you might believe that they want to, but they can make it either bigger or smaller. That's kind of the effect that the media has.
Mm.
And really that in some respects, the media is only able to focus on things that other people are talking about. If people aren't talking about it, then it's not news. And so when you have government ministers coming out, for example, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, or you've had statements coming out of government agencies, then that becomes newsworthy, and so it fans a lot of discussion that would otherwise not really exist because the government is talking about it, and the agency is talking about it, and as you say, they are the big player here.
Do you think we are making progress in fair reporting when it comes to Israel, or are we losing are we fighting a losing battle here?
Look, I think that there's obviously always improvements to be made, and what I can say is that we have a voice in the South African media. I think there's sometimes an assumption to say that we never get anything in, that it's never done fairly, and I don't think that that's the case. As you've said, I think that particularly on this issue, although the media has gotten it wrong factually and doesn't have access to information, I think there has been a sort of recognition and attempt to at least report on this fairly in some publications. And those publications are very big, but there are very serious issues and we've seen it. And it's really only by continuing to engage and fight and have even alternative media out there that you can start to correct this kind of situation.
On a personal note, for me, I found it a couple of observations. One is that for my weekly column on News 24, they have never censored me around Israel. There's only been two occasions in which they've recommended that I don't publish an article, and neither of them had anything to do with Israel. So I do find that they do publish my articles around Israel, which I think is commendable. But a problem, a personal issue that I have with it is the minute you start to write about Israel, you get become narrow, or you are perceived, or you're pigeonholed into that Israel writing guy. And that's a real danger. And I've spoken to quite a few other Jewish media personalities who are very supportive of Israel, but who don't go there because once you do, it has a significant impact on your career. Now, this isn't my career, so I don't mind doing it, and I feel it's my responsibility to do it. But at the same time, if I do it all the time, then I don't get read because I'm just that Israel guy. Israel is a difficult and dangerous subject for people to engage in if they want to engage in other subjects. Your reaction?
So I think what's interesting, Howard, is that there's what we found is that most of the population doesn't actually know or care. And then, this, for example, here's a statistic you might find interesting. So UCT did a survey on attitudes of particularly urban South Africans who are black and looked at some of their perspectives. And 75% of that demographic, 75% didn't know that there was a war going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians. That's what they found, which is an extraordinary statistic if you think about it. It's really, I think, confined to very much the elites in society who care that much about this thing. And they, unfortunately, are the ones that are in control of a lot of these institutions that create the discussion around it. So I think if you are going to be that voice, then, yes, that is an issue. But I also think that you can't improve the situation if nobody talks about it.
So no, absolutely, 100%.
That you can cover things that people are interested in. And I think it's not always talking about when there's a tragedy. It's about talking about Israel in a normal way, on a regular basis, in a way that people can relate to. That's how you start to change the discussion. It's not necessarily about...
That's an interesting observation, because maybe that's when we write on Israel, is when things are negative and we are writing always on the back foot and in defense, rather than writing about very normal and positive things.
Well, for example, I'll give you an example. So some of the press have started picking up on this, but a few weeks ago, an Israeli company working with a South African company managed to fix a dam in Mafeking, which now is giving water to 500,000 South Africans. Now, that's a very normal story, but it's a story about Israel, it's a story about Israeli technology, it's about a story about Israelis engaging with South Africans. And that's actually the real story here, right? We have relations with Israel. Israel is the largest tourist destination for South Africans in the Middle East. There's all sorts of connections of the majority of South Africans to Israel. And so when there's not a crisis, we should be thinking about how do we discuss this so that it isn't, you're not just the Israel guy, you're telling a South African story which has an Israel element.
I think that's a very, very valid point. I like that. I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Ricky Lomi saying, hi, Howard. Somebody claims that the President of South Africa wished the K family condolences. I haven't heard about it. I haven't either, Ricky. Benji, have you heard anything? Have you seen anything from the South African government?
So I haven't, the SMS was to do with the president. I haven't seen anything official, but my understanding is that there is some kind of condolence letter that has been sent from the government, although I don't have anything public that I can share.
And I'm sure they'll keep it on the down low because it can be very unpopular for them, can't it? Now, why is it? And what do we do when the government becomes completely hysterical and shrill around a Miss Universe nonsense, but is silent when it comes to a murder of a South African by a terrorist? What does it tell us?
So look, I don't think it's sort of useful to compare the two examples. I think that they're very, very different and we shouldn't, it's not, given how tragic this particular situation is, I don't think that this.
But that's the point. That's the point. When they become shrill and hysterical about a non-event and 7 days later a real tragedy happens and they remain silent, we have to compare the two.
Yeah, look, I think that the particularly when we talk about DIRCO, which is the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, that's really the people who speak on foreign affairs. So, you know, whatever Natia Tetwa from the culture minister did, DIRCO came out pretty quickly and said, look, we have relations with Israel. We've got no problem with it going and that's what's important, right? I do think that it would be good to see more public posture from DIRCO on something like this. And it's not actually unusual. There was a few years ago a shooting in Jerusalem of a similar kind and they came out and they expressed condolences. And I think reminding them of it, and the Zionist Federation put out a statement yesterday condemning them for their silence and saying that they needed to talk about it. In South Africa, you have to just keep talking because we have a democracy, and if the government isn't listening, then you have to go out there and say that, and over time, that is how you start to change how the government is operating.
That is all we have time for. It is 7 o'clock. Benji Shulman, Director of Public Policy at the South African Zionist Federation. Do you agree with him? 34519 or 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.